Welcome to the only podcast for piano teachers just starting out, Piano Teacher Primer. My name is Angela Toon. Keep listening for the prime pro tips you can use with your own students right away. Episode 55, Classical Music, How to Start. How to start teaching it to students is really what this episode is about. Several friends from several places have been asking me how to go about this, how to introduce classical music to students, what I recommend. So I thought I would go into detail in a podcast episode here. I've had some DMs on Instagram, which I love, by the way. You are welcome to DM me any piano teaching questions that you have. And my Instagram handle's AngelaToon_. And then also I've had texts from friends who have been asking me about these same questions along these same kind of lines. So podcast episode coming your way. It's also on my mind because my students are preparing for the solo festival with the Federation of Music Clubs. It's a national group with local chapters. And in our chapter, each teacher joins and chooses two pieces for each student to learn, memorize, and perform. One's from a list, and the other, after a certain level, is a non-American composer, is the rule. So classical music is the idea there, to encourage students to be exposed to classical music. So one of my friends is starting this federation for the first time. So I'll share with you what I shared with her, and plus a whole lot more. So the earlier you start classical music, it will be a part of their curriculum and not a new hard thing later on. But the hardest thing is almost all the classical music includes some hands together, right? So if they are not playing a lot of hands together yet, I don't start classical music yet. And depends on what method you're in. Some methods don't do hands together until later. So there are some pieces by Kabalevsky that are single hand, and some pieces where both hands are on the same notes, which you'd think would be easy, and it is for some kids, but then some kids it's really hard to coordinate. Even though it's the same notes, it's going to be opposite fingers, right? Because our hands are opposite. So I usually introduce classical music when the student has had some experience with hands together texture and is doing quite well with that. My first go-to resource is a book that I just referenced the other day in another podcast recently. So bear with me. I gotta say it again here. It's called the Masterwork Classics Series. It's edited by Jane McGraw. It looks like McGrath, but it's pronounced McGraw, I've heard. And I like it because it not only has levels of books, it not only has your regular table of contents, it also has another page with pieces listed by difficulty. So it has the Baroque and classical pieces, easiest to hardest, you know, in her opinion. And then it has the Romantic and Modern, easiest to hardest. And I don't always agree, and some kids have things that are harder for them than others, but you can be assured in these books that the pieces are written originally for the keyboard and are in original form, and they're not arrangements, which is required for the Federation competitions and other competitions. Will have that requirement. So it's nice to have a book that I know the entire collection is original compositions for piano originally, not arrangements of symphonies, not arrangements of other instruments, but actual piano repertoire. So you can keep going with Masterworks Classics. It goes all the way up lots of levels. You can, after level 3, I sometimes like to have students get the Piano Literature edited by Bastian. It just has some of those famous ones in it. It's just a good collection of a lot of those famous classical pieces that are really good teaching pieces for students. It has like Arabesque by Bergmuller, Spinning Song, and of course Für Elise, that a lot of kids want to learn that. Another repertoire series that many teachers swear by is Keith Snell, and there are leveled books and they're separated by time period, and it helps students to get to know the earlier music of Baroque and classical, and then there will be a separate book for the Romantic and 20th century. And again, these are originals in original form, and they're edited really well. So that's another thing you can check out are the Keith Snell selections. And to be clear, when I'm talking about this original form and everything, arrangements are totally okay. They can be so awesome, especially if a student has a particular piece they're excited about learning, but the original's too hard for them. Case in point, right now, my daughter has extreme interest in learning Claire de Lune. She's 10. No, we are not planning to have her learn a piece with that funky time signature and all those flats. So I have a simplified arrangement of Claire de Lune, and it's in the key of C, and we're even simplifying it further. It's so motivating for them if they have a piece that they really wanted to learn. I have taught students easier versions of For Elise and Canon in D, so I definitely use the non-original, and I definitely use classical music arrangements. We had a Beethoven recital one time, and it had a lot of arrangements from some of his symphonies and things. So I definitely use arrangements in my teaching for specific reasons, and then for the specific competitions or festivals that require a keyboard piece, well, that's when I for sure go to one of these collections with original piano works. I had another student who wanted to learn Scott Joplin, and they already owned a book of arrangements of Scott Joplin ragtime pieces because his sister learned from it. So right after learning the arrangement, I believe it was Maple Leaf Rag, he said, I want to learn the original. And he was good enough. I was like, well, let's try it. And he did. He learned the original and went for it. So sometimes it doesn't take away from wanting to learn the original in the future. It might even fuel that desire. And then my kids' teacher, she learned under the Suzuki method. She doesn't teach the Suzuki method, but she uses the Suzuki books for the classical music. They are good suggestions of pieces and, you know, the classics, you do have to be careful if you're using these for a competition or something. They do have some arrangements in there. But there is a good selection in there. So my kids have enjoyed learning some of those. And again, there's some famous ones included. And then my final suggestion of resources is a book called The Pianist's Guide to Standard Teaching and Performance Literature. It's also by Jane McGraw. She has leveled like all classical music that you could ever think of. So I have referred to that book when I'm trying to help choose a piece for a student and you don't want it to be too hard. Which reminds me, I can also refer you to episode 49, 3 Tips on Choosing Music for Students. And we go into detail on getting it not too hard, not too easy, but just right. So some of those principles in that episode will really help you. For instance, I play 3 pieces for them and they can choose one of them. I have them sight read a little bit to see if it's in their level and if they can somewhat sight read one hand, then I'm like, okay, that'll work for you. And there's lots of other suggestions on that episode as you take it further. But yeah, so I recommend adding classical music even occasionally to your piano teaching. There is a reason that these pieces have been around for hundreds of years. Can you imagine creating something and hundreds of years later, it's still being performed and it's still being played? That's so cool, right? There's such a great opportunity with classical pieces for different expression, adding different dynamics, and then talking about the time periods and how the music got to where it is today. So just to wrap things up here, we're not just teaching how to play certain notes. We are instilling in our students a love of music. And they might go to another instrument. They might play in a symphony someday. At the very least, they might play in a school orchestra or a school jazz band or a school or be in a school choir. And they will have immersed themselves in music through your piano studio. And they will be benefited from that their entire life. So we're helping them appreciate music and love music of all types, including classical music written for the piano. Thanks, everybody. And my new program that I've been telling you about, I'm announcing for the first time out loud that it's going to be called the Piano Teacher Toolbox, because I'm going to give you some tools like books that you can use in your studio and ways that you can implement books into your studio, not just classical music, but method books, supplementary books, and Disney and Broadway and fake books and lead sheets and all the things. So for sure, check out my Piano Teacher Toolbox program. Remember, it's not going to be a static online course, and my online course Piano Teacher Primer will still be there. But the Piano Teacher Toolbox is going to be an interactive live Zoom all together, me explaining things live, some things that I've learned since putting together the Piano Teacher Primer course. And we can also share ideas with each other, and you can get your questions answered live, and we can go into more detail, more in depth, and more fun to be together in real life. So keep watching for that. It's going to open in 1 week, and then it's going to start on February 1st. So coming right up. Thanks for being with me, and happy teaching. Before you go, a quick note. Your dedication to piano education is keeping the music alive. If you have found value in our conversation, please leave a rating or a review and share it with a fellow piano teacher. Together, we're changing the world, one student at a time. Until next week, play on.